Right. So this is back to paper four.
Yes. I think we'll, in some ways, just go back to 4A, which was our cover page, just giving an overview of some of the thoughts ahead of the presentations yesterday, and thinking ahead to just the scope of the project. So I think when we introduced the papers and the thought process yesterday, what we said really is the key objective for this part of the meeting would be to discuss the components of the accounting that we wanted to include within the proposed interpretation. I think yesterday in our discussions we had some discussion around initial recognition and discussion on subsequent measurement of financial liability that would be recognised for the put. So I think where we really got to, and I'll ask for confirmation and just at the end here, but I think where we got to was a sense that on initial recognition of the put, we had a credit entry which in accordance with IAS 32 would be recognised as a financial liability, and that the subsequent measurement of that financial liability would be through profit and loss. What we struggled with was reaching a consensus on the debit entries on initial recognition. The question around, is the financial liability, it's a reclassification from equity, but in what shape or form is that reclassification from equity? How does it impact the NCI components of equity, parent equity? And we discussed some models that are in the staff paper to think about this. And then there was also, I think, discussion on a slightly different approach to it, which I'll call a reclassification approach. I think certainly Pat and Joanna, and I think maybe Scott had also particularly spoken to yesterday. So when we, I think, sit on where we are now, I think, in my mind, the sort of first question we need to think about isn't necessarily getting into yet papers 4C and 4D, which introduce some other questions, but to really think about that initial recognition question and whether the committee feels they can reach a consensus on that debit entry. In other words, should that debit entry be something we think about addressing in this interpretation? Or is the view of the committee that the interpretation should not be addressing that debit entry, primarily because of some concerns around whether the committee can reach a consensus on it, and actually what the scope of the interpretation needs to be, which typically is fairly narrow in terms of scope. I think in considering that issue, the staff probably have two views they've put to the committee. I think the first approach would be a suggestion that the initial debit entry is not within the scope of the interpretation, primarily because of concerns around whether the committee could reach a consensus on that point on a timely basis. So if you want, we can call that view one. I think our second view would be, if the committee does want to continue considering what the debit entry should be with a view that it should be included in the interpretation, then I think the staff would suggest that a further paper would be brought back on that issue at the next meeting. And I think specifically that would include some analysis on one of the alternative approaches. I'll call it the reclassification thought process that Pat and Joanna had put yesterday. So I think those would be the two options that staff would suggest. And I'd certainly be interested in comments from the committee in they view a third option out there, or if they've got any preference for the two that the staff propose.
I suppose, David, the third option is that we could discuss the papers again and see if we come to a different answer today. But based on yesterday's experience, that probably wouldn't be very productive. So simple choice to take us forward. Do you want to talk about it anymore? If everybody agrees that we're not going to reach a consensus, if we can agree on that, then we'll just stop the project now. Alternatively, if you want to talk some more, should we pursue the approach that Pat and Joanna discussed in outline yesterday and ask the staff to do some more research and flesh that out? Scott?
Yesterday's discussion was pretty frustrating, but I'm not ready to declare defeat just yet. I would propose that we take another shot next time around.
Okay, thanks. Peggy?
I would also propose that we continue, but I'd like to add if we could consider adding business combinations into the scope.
I think the staff's hope was that by taking simple project, we could start there and then later add on complexities to see how far we could go. Unfortunately, we didn't get past first base yesterday. But David, the intention is that we would address business combinations, which are probably the most prevalent source of these arrangements. So if we can get agreement on the basic one, then we'll take it forward.
Okay.
And from Regulators Corner.
Yeah, thank you. You removed the possibility of a third option, but if you look at yesterday's discussion, there was, I think, a majority of members agreeing that the treatment resulted in counterintuitive results, and furthermore, the results are differing from what happens in US GAAP. Therefore, I would suggest that you also work on the third option, which would be to change or propose to the board to change the standard.
Sorry, Patrick, just to go back. So to change the standard, which standard do you want us to change, 39 or 27?
In my view, a quick solution would be to include an exemption in IS 32 and 39.
Specifically then for puts issued to non-controlling interests to not account for them in the same way as other options and as puttable equity instruments. So, okay. Jean-Louis, your light is hidden from me, but I think it's you.
No, I think that we cannot make a solution only on the credit side of the entry. I think that we should look throughout the process from the beginning, that's the beginning of the treatment of the initial treatment of the put and the final also, because there might be a problem of extinguishment of the debt in the global logic. In my view, there is one. So we should cover all the other process. And I think that I do take into consideration the suggestion made by Patrick. I think that, and also made yesterday, I think, by Lawrence, that maybe the solution would not be through the process of interpretation, but through an improvement of IFRS, a limited improvement of IFRS 32 and 39. So that would be my preference.
Okay, but bearing in mind, of course, the improvement that we were really hoping for was financial instruments with the characteristics of equity. So this could be work that we are doing that's an input to the board project on that. We may not finalize it ourselves, but I'm...
timing issue, but...
Okay, Ruth?
Yeah, I support having one more go at it on figuring out what the debit side is. I felt a bit more optimistic, I must say, than Scott. I thought we were getting there in terms of how we would deal with the double counting issue through treating it as a reclassification. And I thought there were some good ideas about how to avoid the problems that are mentioned as not making sense or causing problems in practice. And I thought we were making reasonable progress along that argument. So I'd like to see that further explored. as an alternative to changing the standard, because I think we could change the standard, but we could also not change the standard but still deal with the problem by saying, well, okay, you do recognise the liability, but you don't have the double counting through recognising the minority share of profit as well as the remeasurement of the liability. And I think there is a solution to be found there, a possible solution. So I would encourage some more work along that path.
Okay. Joanna?
Yes, I support doing some more work as much as anything else, because I'm not convinced that we would be able to reach a resolution on the remeasurement, in fact, because of the double counting issue, until we've actually addressed the first question. So I think, like Ruth, I really think that we should do some, you know, have one more go. Like Scott, not accept defeat yet, but I think it's important when you bring it back to us that you actually do address, if you like, that double counting and the P&L aspect. So when you get to the remeasurement, how that is considered as a result of your recommendation, if you like, for the debit or thoughts around the debit. Because I think they do go together.
All right. And just to remind you, Joanna, that there is a principle that the South work on, that anybody who suggests a good idea that doesn't give us all the detail is expected to participate with the staff in developing those ideas, so that at least you support them. You don't get credit in the name of the Joanna solution later. But
I've got a recommendation also, that given Joanna was very supportive of adding journal entries last time around, that she may be able to provide some very good assistance on journal entries for this
group.
I would be delighted to help you, David, if it gets us to a resolution.
Thank you, Joanna. Luca?
I agree with the comments made since now. It's important to have some other work to just to find a possible solution. I have the same feeling of Ruth. I think that in some way we could find some elements of additional discussion to find an appropriate solution, but we cannot answer the question without resolving the first problem.
Okay. And Laurence?
I support all the comments that have been made, those from Peggy saying we need to have a broad picture, including puts on relating to issues at the same time as a business combination. I support Patrick's comment to say we need to look at all the alternatives and not restrict ourselves only to one. And I support continuing the work on this broadly, from initial recognition to either expiration or settlement, and with the changes in between. We need to have the broad picture, because it is a pervasive issue, big amounts involved, so we need to do the work in full.
Okay, thanks. So then in summary, I get the sense that the committee wants to have one more go, or at least one more go, at finding a resolution to this, and that the staff will be encouraged to consider other alternatives other than the Perry model. If it's a straight exemption to a standard, whether or not that is likely to be something that is acceptable. And as always, in the nature of these issues, if it requires a change in the standard, you have to try and gauge the level of the board support and enthusiasm for making a change to a standard that is already on its way out. Not trying to lead you in any particular direction, but just to warn you of what the outcome for that might be. I'd also remind the committee that we take on issues that we can resolve in a reasonable period of time, and that time is running out on this. So I think it's a good idea to bring it back to see if we can find a solution, and if we can, to build on that. But this is not a project that we can keep going for another 12 months. It's something that we have to bring speedily to a conclusion. So I'd expect that if we can get agreement on the issues that David's going to bring back at the next meeting, follow that up then in a subsequent meeting with a consideration of business combinations and some of the other complexities that come through. But if we've got substantial agreement on the basic model, then I'm confident we can broaden so that it will be more generally applicable. So I'm not looking at too many more meetings to discuss on this. So let's hope that your input to the staff in between now and the next meeting on the model, your thoughts and ideas to avoid the double counting in income, and also the clarity in